You're listening to Career Chats with Phil Ray Smith, brought to you by Michael Page.
Hello and welcome to the Career Chats podcast, brought to you by recruitment experts Michael Page. I'm Phil Ray Smith. This is the latest episode in a series in which we talk to some pretty special people about how they made it and the life or career lessons they learned along the way. Each week we touch on a different skill and how you or I could learn from it. Today's guest is going to talk about making yourself stand out. Well, our celebrity career advisor has worked in TV, film and on stage, but most recently he's taken the lead role in the hit musical Hamilton. He has a growing fan base and he's gone above and beyond in making himself stand out. So please welcome Ash Hunter.
Hello, how are you doing?
Great, thanks. So let's start off by talking about Hamilton, that West End phenomenon. It was one of the most highly anticipated shows ever to come to London.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was it like to be part of it?
I mean, it was insane. I've never been part of something that was so big and mattered so much to so many people. You know, the people who came and saw the show had been listening to the album for like 2 years or 3 years and had such big expectations, and it meant so much to them. So to kind of do something that meant that people, they're coming from around the world to come and see you. And you can see, you know, every night standing ovations, you go outside and you're signing for people who've got tears in their eyes, who are shaking, all this stuff. And you're just there thinking, you know, I'm just doing the job. I'm just trying to say the words in the right order. But it means so much to these people. You know, everyone knows all the words. And it meant so much to me to be able to do something that mattered, if you know what I mean. And every night, even if I was really tired or whatever, I'd go outside and do the signing, because it takes 15 minutes of your time, but it meant, like, it would mean, you know, a lifetime's worth of I don't know, happiness for these guys. And they were just some of the best, most supportive fans in the world.
Why do you think it did matter so much to so many people?
Well, I think firstly it's about, you know, there's representation. It's the fact that you've got people on stage who, you know, some of the people are coming and they've never seen people who look like them on stage, you know, do something so brilliant or to play a lead. And some people are coming and it's kind of completely changing their perception of what a lead or what a fully three-dimensional character can look like. You know, whether it be, you know, a little mixed-race kid who's coming and sees, you know, someone who looks like him, me, on stage playing the lead. Or even if it's someone, you know, a British, a white kid who kind of goes, oh, that's what, you know, that's what a lead can look like, and completely changes their perception of potentially the world. I also think it's just, it's, Lin-Manuel's he's a genius. Do you know, it speaks to the heart of people, and it kind of introduces history and these kind of themes in a way that people can understand, and they can kind of make a connection across, you know, across time. Essentially they're linking, they're realising that their feelings can attach themselves to people who lived in like the 18th century, 17th century. So I just think it spoke to the heart of a lot of people.
For anyone who the hype has perhaps passed them by, I mean, obviously, yeah, it's the story of an American founding father.
Yeah.
Famously got a non-white cast.
Yeah.
It's got, apart from the one British character
the
in
king,
it,
yeah.
King George, it's got the musical kind of, the score is not what you'd expect from a musical,
no, not
right?
At all.
How would you describe it?
The best way to describe it would say it's almost like a hip-hop opera, if you know what I mean. It's, you know, most of the songs are rap-inspired or R&B-inspired, and it's sung completely through. There's no speaking scenes in the middle of it. From the moment that the music starts until the end of the show, it never stops, which is, so you've kind of got to, you know, jump on board that train and buckle in, because, you know, it's not going to wait for you. It's brilliant. And I think Lin-Manuel is a massive hip hop fan. And I think that's also something that bridges the gap, because people who wouldn't listen to music like that are coming and, you know, and enjoying it. My ex-girlfriend's parents, who are, you know, 60 something year olds from Northern Ireland, were coming and kind of going, oh, I really got it. I didn't realise I'd like this music, you know. And if it means that they're going to go away and I don't listen to some Kanye West or Kendrick Lamar, then maybe it'll be a good thing.
The show came to the Victoria Theatre in December 2017. I actually got tickets for January 2018, but I'd had to buy them 12 months before to give you a measure of, you yeah. know, the kind of hype that it was subject to. It won 7 Olivier Awards previously on Broadway, including Best New Musical. Mm. How hard was it to get a role in the show?
I mean, I've never gone through an audition process like it.
So tell us a bit about what that process
was. For me, all in all, it was a 4-month audition process. I auditioned for it firstly in January of 2017. And actually, it was 2 years to the day that I left the show from the day that I auditioned, which is crazy. I did my first audition with the Americans, and the producers over here, the American director, the musical director. And then they gave me 4 months of singing lessons. to it because I'd never done a musical before. The only singing I'd done was with my guitar in my room, essentially. And they saw something in me that they really, that they liked, but wanted to see if that, that could be transferred into, you know, potentially leading a musical. So then they came back and did like four auditions when they came back. As the audition process went on, I started to lose my voice a little bit again, and it became clear that maybe I couldn't potentially do the eight shows a week. So they offered me the alternate role, which means that on Monday nights I did a show, and then and I could step in whenever Jam wasn't feeling up to it or blah blah blah. But also because it meant that while I was doing it, they would give me training, so to see if my voice could get to the point where I could take over. And that's what happened at the end. I took over and I did the show full time, playing the lead before I left, which was amazing. So, I mean, that's a testament to them, because for someone who has never done a musical, to be given the chance to lead the biggest musical in the world is an amazing thing. And for them to kind of foster and build on the little bit of talent that they saw. Because now if I wanted to, I mean, once you've done Hamilton in terms of musicals, where do you go after that? So, but, you know, if I wanted to, I could now. And that's because they took the time, you know, to do that with me and to really kind of, yeah, to take me under their wing, which was really lovely.
It's always amazing in an employment situation where someone spots talent and is prepared to nurture it and
absolutely, because
grow.
Because they didn't have to. Do you know what I mean? They're paid to pay for, you know, when I found out how much these singing lessons were, if I'm doing 2 hours, like 150, and they're saying to me I can have like two a week, and then they're giving me singing lessons while I'm doing the show and all of this stuff, and only for me to take over and then leave. You know, they could pick someone who's been in a musicals for years, but they saw something that they really liked in terms of, I think, the whole aim for Hamilton was that they wanted an actor who could sing and who could do this stuff, because it's just a very emotive role, and you take him from being 19 to 49. So I think it just, you know, and also there's something about the rhythms. I've been a massive like hip hop fan and stuff like that, and I guess there's some people who have kind of had a musical theatre training that maybe that doesn't come as naturally to. And with this part, 100%, the rap parts are more, I would say, more important, but they're more imperative than the singing parts, if you know what I mean. But yeah, the training was amazing, and like I said, to go from someone who's never done something like that before to where I got to is insane, and that's a very lovely opportunity.
What did it say to you, the character of Alexander Hamilton? Because he became a founding father, he was a leader of the United States, and yet he had a very mixed background. You know, it wasn't inevitable that this was going to happen to him by any means.
100%. I mean, that's that. You know, in terms of creating parallels between me and the character, which is what I do every time I play a part. You know, he came from, you know, from an island in the Caribbean. That father left, mother died. He moves in with his cousin. His cousin commits suicide, but he's just incredibly driven and incredibly intelligent. So intelligent so that the people around him realize his intelligence and make enough money, or by whipping around, you know, by passing a plate around to send him off to New York. So you kind of go, you've started with nothing, and then to get to that point, so it's almost like, you know, I made the with my, I think we were talking about, you know, resilience and stuff like that before, is because, you know, when I started acting, I didn't want to be an actor at all. The funny thing is now that mostly none of my friends are actors, and so they find the whole thing so bloody crazy, because I was like, played some football team at school, captain of my football team. My mum has been ill since I was born. She kind of got preeclampsia, which meant kidney failure, which meant that now she's a full-time kidney transplant patient. So at the time she would be on dialysis three times a week, so she would need time after dialysis to rest. So I always needed an after school club to go to. So the after school club that I was going to was the football one. I dislocated my ankle and therefore couldn't play football clearly, even though I probably tried. And the only club that had space that could take someone with a dislocated ankle was the drama club. So that's when I started doing drama stuff. I was in all boys school. And the only time that we had any connection with the all-girls school that was next to us was a yearly musical that they did. And I was like, well, I never even bloody talked to a girl before. So I was like, okay, the way I'm going to do this is going to see if I can get a part in the musical, a small part. And that's when I realised I could sing, because then I got the part of Captain Von Trapp. So suddenly I'm doing the lead, had my first kiss and spoke to girls for the first time in my life. And it kind of just went from there. I was just like, okay, cool. So clearly singing and acting, that's the way to get any kind of female attention or any attention at all. So kind of it all went from there.
I love how it's a kind of a combination of random events.
Oh man, massively.
And then sort of all sorts of different motivations, far from being like, I see myself up on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. But never was that. And then you kind of realise actually that maybe because of my mum being so ill, and because of the kind of the responsibility that took, it meant that I spent probably more time than most by myself when I was a kid, you know what I mean? There's times where I spent Christmases in hospital and stuff like that. So then I finally found something that meant that I could interact with people and actually brought out a side of me that I didn't know was in there. You kind of go, oh, wow, well, this is how I do it. This is how I make friends. This is how I can contact people that I wouldn't usually.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, even once you discover the bug for acting,
sure.
Things still didn't go swimmingly or smoothly, including at drama school.
Yeah, 100%. So when I was at college, I did drama. And again, that's when I kind of started playing the guitar a bit because I knew there was a talent show coming up. And I was literally just trying to impress a girl. I mean, it worked, which was a surprise to me because, you know, at the time I was playing the guitar really badly. My dad said to me, look, if you get 4 A's, I'm going to then you can do whatever you want. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he thought I would get it because, I don't know, the kind of way. I wasn't exactly the most dedicated kid. But as soon as my dad said that, I was like, I'm going to get my head down. And I got 4 A's. And so I was like, well, there we go. Do you know what I mean? So then went to drama school and it was not for me. I won't say the specific drama school because I didn't have the best time, but it was it wasn't what my idea of acting was. Everything was so prescribed and everything was so controlled, and I kind of, you know, you're looking at people sitting in a chair pretending to be chickens and stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't understand what this is. And like I said, most of my friends aren't actors, so they're still there in some of them that go to uni, so they're still there in London doing their, you know, training to be plumbers, training to be teachers, doing all of this stuff. So I'm just trying to hang out with them and trying to go to parties, do all of this stuff. And it just got to the point, well, let's just say that we came to mutual agreement that it wasn't quite for me in my second year. And so I thought, you know, that was that. You know, I've got my dad kind of going, I told you so. And then I left. And the whole point of drama school, mainly, is you're supposed to get the training, fine, but you're supposed to get an agent. So do this. So I've left drama school without an agent, without the training. Can't really say I had no desire to be like, I went to this drama school because I didn't really have the best time. So she's like, well, that's the end of it. I did. My dad gave me a job. So I did that. I worked for him for a little bit. That got really boring. So I tried to work at the Gap. Let's just say we also had a mutual agreement that it wasn't for me. And I did odd jobs until there was a... I find out through a friend, because I guess, you know, some of my friends, by the time it got to the time when they actually had graduated, a friend of mine was saying that there was an open audition for a play that required someone to be able to sing a little bit at the Theatre Royal Stratford East. So I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to take myself down there. Why not? You know, I can't lose, can I? Do you know what I mean? I'm already not doing it. So I remember I did that. The first audition, they gave me a call and said, we thought you were great, but you're not right for the part. And I said, okay, brilliant. And this is to play, it was like an American kind of weird adaptation of A Clockwork Orange, which is good. It doesn't sound necessarily that good, but it was actually quite good. And then I got a call 2 weeks later saying, actually, something's changed in the scripts, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do a workshop audition. Would you like to come in? And I was like, yep, cool. And didn't hear anything from them for a week. And the show was going to start on a Monday. And I was like, it's got to Friday and I haven't got it. They come at 5 o'clock on the Friday, said, it's yours. And who knows if someone dropped out, who knows if blah, blah, blah. And I was like, look, I don't care. I'm just going to work as hard as I possibly can to make this work for me. Did that show. It was great. And I kind of, it was like, oh my God, this is what I thought it felt like. This is what I thought it was. It's this kind of the collaborative thing. And it's all my ideas. I'm taking an aspect of myself and putting it into the character. And that's all I ever wanted to do. That's how I work now. So even something as big as Alexander Hamilton, I'm just working from self. That's just how I do it. I kind of go, what would I be like in these given set of circumstances? And because I'd gone through so much stuff, it's quite easy to draw on stuff. You know, I said that when I was playing Hamilton, there's the scene, it's quite uptown. I said, unfortunately, my mum during the year that I was in Hamilton had her leg amputated because of the complications from that. So you've got a bucket full of stuff to draw from. And also, you know, by the end of that year, I was stronger than I've ever been. Because if you can deal with that and play the biggest part in the biggest show in the world, you kind of go, well, then what else can't I do? And I'll get onto what that meant later. But so I did the show at the Theatre Royal Stratford East. I got an agent from it. And then suddenly from that, someone who saw me in the show cast me in something at the Birmingham Rep. Then I got cast in something at the Soho Theatre. And then I did an audition for the Royal Shakespeare Company out of the blue, and then got that. So I was in, suddenly I've gone from getting fired from the Gap after having been kicked out of drama school to being at the Royal Shakespeare Company playing Pompey and Antony and Cleopatra, which is like insane. But also I'm not there going, I'm just not thinking about it. I'm going to just keep pushing.
So what is it that made you stand out in all of these auditions? Because, you know, it's a long process sometimes, yeah, auditioning, especially if you're starting from an open audition, yeah, like that very first time.
But I think it's ownership of, I don't want to call it baggage, but ownership of your stuff, man. Like, the one thing that I know that I think personally has made me stand up is like I've had a life and it's been filled with a bunch of stuff, and a lot of it not the norm. You know, a lot of it quite painful, a lot of that stuff. But if you can kind of turn that into some sort of positive. And also there was a version of me that was like, well, in order for my mum to make some semblance of sense of her situation, if I can be successful, at least she can say, well, if I wasn't in this situation, he wouldn't have done that. If I wasn't in this situation, he wouldn't have gone to the RSC. If I wasn't in this situation, he wouldn't have been Alexander Hamilton. And I think in my head, there's no, I can't go from having a, in order, it's almost, if, in order to make sense of the strangeness and the oddness and some of the challenges of my life, I was like, I have to be, attempt to be exceptional if I can. And I think that's even when we're in, you know, the just like you said, to stand out. I don't want to blend in. I don't want to, because then that's not balancing out the other stuff that's happened, if you know what I mean.
It's fascinating insight into motivation as to kind of making it right for your mum almost.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely it. I think it is that, yeah.
What about, you mentioned you worked at the Gap. Have you ever had normal, as it were, job interviews, and how does the audition process compare?
Do you know what? It's actually quite funny, because it's similar in the sense that, you know, the audition process is like, auditioning is such a weird thing. And I've got, you know, I've changed agents 3 times, and I've got a brilliant agent now, which is, I mean, like I said, going from the Gap to having the, you know, to being at the same agency as Idris Elba and you know, and William Dafoe, and like, it's kind of like, you know, it could be worse, do you know what I mean? And Emily Blunt, that's the one I was looking for, you know.
Oh, yeah, Mary also Poppins. Good.
And we it's weird. So when you do have an agent like that and you do audition a lot, it is like having a job interview like 3 times a week or something like that. And I think that's one thing that people don't get, people should, we attempt to get used to, but you don't, which is the kind of the constant rejection which people talk about. You know, all of this stuff for a period of time when I was really early in my career, up until, you know, the RSC, which I went to, which took me to New York as well. We did Miami, which is crazy, because trust me, no one wants to see Shakespeare in Miami. There's a lot of rich old people coming and falling asleep. And I was like, fine, brilliant, that works for me. You know, I was doing really well up until that point. It kind of was on a roll, because I did that, came back, and then got a show at the Globe, and I was like, oh man. And then got a show at the National, and then I got a film and a TV show, and kind of, then you get to a certain level, and then it's like, oh no, you're in the big leagues now. And I'm going for auditions, and I went for a period where I didn't work for like a year and a half, but all this time I'm auditioning. So wow. You're constantly, so it is like a, and you know, to keep yourself going and to keep that spark alive, regardless of the fact that you're not getting any money, and every audition you go into, you're seeing someone that you recognise from the TV, and all of this stuff. You know, before Hamilton, I'd done, in that year and a half, I'd done Death in Paradise, which is a TV job, which is great. They fly you out to Guadeloupe. You filmed for, I was there for 2 weeks, filmed for 8 days. I mean, that's quite nice. But just trying to keep that going. And I'd have these conversations with my agent, who's a really, really good friend of mine, and a lovely lady, Kim Donovan. And she would just constantly go, just keep pushing. And
how do you do that? How do you deal with the rejection, and how do you keep the momentum up?
In terms of me dealing with it, the one thing that I did was just try to, it sounds a really silly thing, it sounds like such a vain thing to do, but like stuff like working out, keeping in shape, so that you don't kind of let that go, so that you're just going, there's something that I'm doing to keep it going. I did screen classes, stuff like that, and said, so maybe there's stuff that I'm not quite getting yet. We do self tape. So if you've got something that's going to America, you film yourself doing it, and you do it with someone. And so I'd offer to be the person that stands in with anyone. I said to Kim, if you've got someone who doesn't have, I just try and learn, just try and pick up stuff. At the time, I was dating a girl who would like literally just won a BAFTA, which is, it has its own things when you're not working for a year. Yeah, exactly. Imagine that. So you've got to keep yourself going. But I also just would watch her. You know, I do all the tapes with her. Just look at the people who are in the position that you want to be in, and kind of analyze the things that they do. And it is sometimes hard because, you know, when you're then suddenly going back to, like, in that time, my dad gave me another job, and you're kind of going in and it's, you're not doing what you think you're supposed to be doing. I was just talking to a friend now before I came in, and she was saying, you know, she got a really great job, a massive job that was going to make her star, and then it kind of, and then it fell through, not because of her, but just because the show fell through. And when she was in that position, everything feels great. Her relationship's going right. This is happening. This is that. And then suddenly it's gone, and she's going, I'm picking fights with him. I'm doing this because I'm feeling insecure. So I said to her, look, we're going to have a conversation about this, because there are little things that you can do. You need to look at the things. You need to do little things that aren't, that can make you feel good about yourself. And like I said, whether that be working out, whether that be staying fit, whether that be taking classes, something that makes you feel like you are working towards your goal. And yeah, it was hard, because it becomes the point where you go, oh man, maybe I'm not going to, you know, maybe I'm not going to make it. You know, maybe it's not going to happen. Like, even when, you know, I was actually quite disappointed with the Hamilton thing, which is, how can you imagine? But because it looked like it was going, oh, you might have it full time, to, oh no, you're not. You kind of go, well, have I failed? Have I messed up the one chance that I've got? And then it's kind of like, again, this is my, trust me, I tried to, imagine this, it's Hamilton, I tried to say no for a month, which is crazy, but evidently I was being crazy. Until my agent was just like, look, if you can get yourself in the right headspace, yes, it might be hard to kind of have to go in there and not be the number one at first, but if you can get yourself in the right headspace and kind of go, look, I'm going to push on and I know this is going to be useful, then I can do the rest and I can bring people and I can do that. And to be honest, it started off and it was, you know, it's the hardest year of my life, obviously, because of the personal stuff, but also because, you know, I'd never done it, been in a position where you kind of are not the main, or I'd never done that. And to kind of put myself in that, imagine the thing that does your self-esteem. I was kind of going, dude, if you can hold yourself together when you're not in this position and make the most of this, then I feel like something great is going to happen. And I did, just before something started happening at the end of it, where, you know, when you said the whole fan base thing, you start to get this kind of, it's almost like people, do you know, like people like a niche band or something like that, do you know, when people want to be cool, they kind of suddenly start, you know, they call themselves the Astronauts, and we're like, oh, we're just coming to your shows, we're coming to people who kind of go, oh, have you seen him do this thing, have you seen, oh, it's so different to this, and you start to get this thing, and that was really great. So it's that kind of positive reinforcement.
Yeah, so you've got this fan base called the Astronauts.
Yeah, see, that very witty,
playing on your own rash. Yes, I get it. So that must be, I mean, that must be pretty cool. Does it go to your head?
It could but I think because of the position I was in, and because I was just trying to make something work, actually, to be honest, they kind of saved me. You know, I was like, oh, there are people that are interested in my version of it. Oh, there are people that are coming. And when you kind of get this real support and this real love, and I think it is about kind of, you know, giving back to the people that have helped you along the way. And these are those people, you know, when I was feeling really down and thinking, oh, no one's going to care. You know, you get on that stage and you're like, oh, are people thinking that I'm the understudy? Are they going to be disappointed? Even though you're like, I got some, you know, I can do this, trust me. Do you know what I mean? They really made me believe in myself. And sometimes I guess that belief doesn't necessarily always come from inside. It comes from, you know, you doing your best and other people reacting in a certain way. I think they really helped me. And as it went on, as it gets bigger and bigger, and we kind of, they became almost like a part of the method that I was using to get into the character, if you know what I mean. And, you know, as it got to the end of the run, as I started to really start to feel something in myself change, kind of going, man, I'm like, really believing in myself. I did my first audition which was the week before I took over as Ham full time. I did one audition for a regular in a TV show, and like you usually for these TV shows you do like 3-4 auditions if you're playing a regular. This is across like 6 months. Did one audition and then got offered the part, and it was just like what I'm filming now. And it, I finished playing Hamilton on the 12th of January and started filming this on the 14th. And you kind of go like, oh, wow. So if you put the work in, because there's something about that happened when I went into that room and I was like, and they'd seen the show. The casting director had seen me do it. And I was talking to these guys about it. And they're kind of going, oh, we really respect that thing. And they're kind of saying to you, is it the best feeling in the world? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm pretty tired now. Do you know what I mean? I was like, yeah,
Is there a flip side though? Is it the too much adulation could make you become a kind of actor cliche and be all loving?
Absolutely. And you can't. I think, again, that's something that was really, I want to be honest and say that there was probably a potential. If I'd have just got the part, it could have gone to my head. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm Hamilton, I'm this. But because I went, before I took over, I was doing the alternate. Like, and also because of what happened in the year, this is like, I'm also, yeah, I'm Hamilton, but I'm also the guy whose mum lost her leg this year. like, let's put things in perspective. Do you know what I mean? It's all relative, and you're not that big, you're not that clever. You're a guy who's worked hard at his craft, and now it's paying off, because not only have you worked hard at your craft, you've worked hard at gaining some self-confidence. And actually, confidence that doesn't necessarily come from being adulated by other people. Confidence that comes from going, no, actually, I managed to make it through this year. And I think when you can go into a room and you can speak like that, and when I was talking to these people, they're going, oh, is it the best? Man, you must feel this. And I was like, I'm just trying to remember the words. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm getting so tired that I'm in the middle of this scene. I'm thinking about dinner, and I'm like, Dash, come on, get back there. So it's like, you know, just being able to be honest, because that comes from the self-confidence that happened from that year. I think we had a conversation with these people, and they're like, oh, I want to work with this guy. Another job that I'm doing is like my dream job. And for it to happen like that, you kind of go, if you put the work in, it does pay off.
It's nice to see how a mixture of, I mean, I don't say nice, but it's interesting to see how every profession, even the starriest professions of showbiz, has a mixture of kind of show business, but also psychological kind of problems. And
massively.
You have to be balanced and...
Massively.
You know.
And I think also you're not always going to get that. Like, even on set now, you're not always going to get that positive reinforcement. So there's times that I'm just having to, you know, where you want to go, oh, was that good? And you have to go, no, I feel like I can be a barometer myself for what's working and what's good. And if I feel like I'm working in the right way, if you know what I mean. Which is a nice thing to have, because you don't always... I think it's nice to have outside people kind of saying, oh, yeah, you're great, but you're not always going to get that. And I think, first and foremost, it's a job. Like any other job, I'm a human. I'm a person like anyone, and who came from a start that was not special. Well, I mean, special in its own way, actually. Yeah, yeah, forget that. No, it is special in its own way, but it's not privileged. Not that I fell into it and went through periods of not working, kicked out of drama school, doing all of this stuff. The whole time, all I'm kind of going is, what can I do to keep it going? What can I do to keep pushing? And in my head, all it was firstly seeing the end goal and doing things. It sounds so silly, but doing things to work towards it. You know, so I'm going, well, if I'm out of work and I start getting really out of shape, or if I'm not practicing, so what makes, if I'm not practicing the thing that I want to do, when I go to an audition, I'm expected to, well, I'm obviously not going to be good at it. And the thing is with Hamilton, because of the nature of it, there's so much stuff with it, because the ensemble are just the core of it, and they're so talented and they're so brilliant. I remember my agent kind of going, well, actually, because they're doing so much, they're representing the ideas in Hamilton's head, why don't we play with this thing where, actually, right, I know you're in a musical, but you can do film acting. So try and see, how small can you make it? How can you do this? So even when we're doing this, she said to me, I said to her, thank you so much for that, because it meant, you know, I did that. Who goes from a musical and does one TV audition and then gets it, because, you know, but I was saying, it's because she said, one thing she said to me was, actually, she said, you allowed me to give you the criticism, as in you allowed me to tell you what I thought you should do next. She said, not everyone would have done that. And I think that's also, I guess, a main key, is to be like, you know, it wasn't going to my head, but also if you've got people around you that maybe know more about it or have seen more about these things, also make yourself, even if you feel like you're doing a great job, make yourself available to learn. Because she said there's clients that she had would be in that position and they would go, brilliant, you think I'm great. Right? The first thing I said to her is there anything that you think I can build on? And so funny when she's like, well, you can make it smaller. Do you know that much? She was like, do that. And so therefore, because the aim was always telly, then suddenly now I'm doing TV and then no one's going, oh man, you're doing musical theatre acting. You're, you know.
Well, your agent must be loving you, because, you know, back-to-back employment is always good for an actor, but also for an agent.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, that was also, it was a wonderful thing to be able to take over as Ham, knowing that you've got this thing coming. But everyone is like, that's crazy that happens. I was like, yeah, trust me, it hasn't. This is the first time.
Yeah. And you say that thing that's happening, we know that it's a regular in a TV show. Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know if I'm allowed to say exactly what it is. So it's a big, yeah, God, I almost did that. I didn't even know.
Well, you
almost,
that was my trap.
You're very good at this, aren't you? Jeez. No, I am. So it's an American American/British TV show. It's the third series. It's on Hulu in America. If I say where it is over here, that would really
be
having some man. Okay. I'm really pleased with myself. But no, it's really cool. And I'm filming it for 6 months and I'm working with really cool people. And it's a period piece, which is great. You know, this mixed race boy who got kicked out of drama school, the only two TV shows that I've done that are mainly are period pieces. I was like, yeah, cool, works for me. All right. And now, but also now I've got this thing where I got this email last week from my drama school asking me if I wanted to be on the panel for auditions. It's like, what is happening with the world? It's so funny.
But they welcomed you back with open arms.
But there we go.
It's,
yeah,
what a bit of success can do.
We always knew. We always knew. That's why we kicked you out, because we knew it was going to be the right part.
All right. So, if you knew then what you know now at the start of your career, what advice would you give yourself as you were starting out?
Gosh. It is that... It's the word resilience. I think there's a couple of times, especially when I was trying to work out if I was going to do Hamilton, that I was a mess. Trying to work out, I literally said to myself, oh, there's no way you're going to be able to mentally withstand this. Your pride isn't going to be able to withstand the I mean, and to go from that to feeling the most confident I've ever felt in my life shows that firstly it's about having faith that you can withstand that stuff. And if something, just because it seems challenging, you have to kind of rise to that challenge, because this was the biggest challenge of my life. And if I hadn't do it, I certainly would not be in the position that I am in now. And actually, again, it took for my agent, again, wonderful, her to say, you can do it. My advice, and considering all of the little and big bumps, it really is just keep pushing on, and also just keep working yourself. Never get to a point, because there's a world in whereby, you know, I do ham and I do it and everyone says, yes, that's great, and I keep going, well, that's fine. But because I was kind of said to my agent, tell me how do I do better, how do I do more, when I was out of work, just working with people that were doing what I want them to do, rather than being scared of it and embarrassed, because I'm going to these people and they're telling me about these jobs and I'm going, well, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I might go back to the Gap, you know. No, I just like, you know, it's, and this is at a time when my friends are, I've got friends who are movie stars. You know, what, my friend Hannah was the lead in the female villain in Ant-Man 2, and like, you know, my friend Michaela was writing TV series, and you've got, you know, these people around you that are absolutely killing it. But I'm still going, let me get as close to the thing that's kind of, that could hurt me as possible, because I want to learn and I want to keep pushing. I think that's the thing. And now I know that if I was ever in that position again, I know I'd have the resilience and I know I'd have the strength to do it, because I've done it before. And I think that is something to go from where I went from, and with all the stuff with mum and all of this stuff, I proved something to myself, which is that you do have that strength, and actually a lot of the time you don't realise you do. And there's actually something that I went up to Edinburgh this weekend and met my girlfriend's parents for the first time. It went really well, surprisingly well. I was like, yeah, do you know what I mean? Very good, well done. But their point was, she works in the wardrobe, and I met her on Hamilton actually. Which is also really cool, because actually if I hadn't have been the alternate, then I wouldn't have been there when she joined. So there we go, see, it all works out. And they said that to her, because she got offered a job to be the head of department on a show. She got literally a text when we were on the train on the way up, and her being humble, her wasn't mentioning it. So I was like, let's talk about her and about how amazing that is. And her kind of going, well, she feels like she needs to do a bit more work as an assistant before she feels ready to do that. And I remember my uncle just saying something really wise, which is like, well, there's, you, if you're waiting to be ready, you're never going to be ready. You know, you're always going to be, if you're waiting, I need to wait until I'm 100% ready, then I'm going to do it. Like, there was a version that I said, you know, I won't do Hamilton now, but I'll do it when I'm feeling more confident, blah, blah, blah. So you're never there. You always get to like 80%, 90%, something like that. And it's actually by just jumping in and doing it, then you realise that actually we're ready all along, if you know what I mean. And it's actually, I think it is that gives you the last 15% by just going, oh, I'm in it. Oh wow! Oh, I can do this. Oh, I'm here. You know, even with the TV thing, I was like, I've never done it. You know, I've done, when I say the only TV series I've done before, I mean, I've got like 4 TV jobs before this one, but that one was like the only one that was a proper series. And this is suddenly, you're like, if you read some of these scripts, I get to do that. I get to do this. What he does, like what? And then if I didn't believe I was ready, I would have gone into that. If I didn't believe I was 100% ready, but I went into that audition and was like, look, trust me, I've got this. I know that if I'm put in that position, I can do it. And there I am, and we'll, you know, we'll see. And when I can finally tell you what it is, we'll see if I do a good job.
We'll
think I'm doing okay.
I'm glad to hear it. And so what can other people take from your story? What piece of advice can people gather from the way that you have made yourself stand out through the auditions, through your performances?
Well, absolutely. Like I said, the thing that I think made my Hamilton different to Jamel's, who has a brilliant Hamilton and just makes it, is because I used the stuff that I have in my life, and use your story as opposed to trying to avoid it, or as opposed to trying to make up a different version of yourself. Because, you know, the fact that I'm like, I've never run away from the fact that my mum's been ill my entire life. I've never run away from the fact that I didn't intend to be an actor. I've never hidden the fact that I got kicked out of drama school. I've never hidden the fact that I didn't work for a year. Because that's all part of the thing. And so, and me carrying that is actually, I think, some of the thing that makes you stand out. Because people are going, how? And if you see some of these people with these big stories, a lot of the time it's because they've come from adversity. And it's because they haven't been embarrassed of that adversity or been embarrassed of that thing that actually you turn it into a strength. And I'm saying some of the stuff that this character is doing at the moment, I'm going, yeah, I've been there. I've done that. I'm using that. They're going, how have you managed to, how can you get that depth of something? It's like, because I felt it. Do you know what I mean? I felt that sad. I felt that tired. I felt that worried. I felt that scared. And by acknowledging that and not being embarrassed or frightened of people's opinions of it, because the thing is, actually now I'm in this position, the fact that, you know, getting kicked out of drama school is like, people are like, wow.
Badge of honour.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? how do you do that? That's what I'm saying. But that's exactly it. Okay. I think just understand that there's going to be a point where all of these little things are going to be badges of honour that you're going to wear, and people are going to look at it and kind of go, man, you really carried that. And I think that would be the bit of advice I give.
Well, I love that, because authenticity is often referred to as so key for an actor.
Absolutely.
But actually, when you think about it, so key for all of us. So thank you, Ash, for a truly fascinating discussion.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been so lovely.
It's been great to talk. So this is, in fact, the end of our first Career Chat series, but be sure to check out some of our earlier episodes. We've had some fantastic conversations along the way with the adventurer, Sir Anna Fiennes, the former England cricketer, Matthew Hoggard, Ruby Bogle from Great British Bake Off, and, of course, the Apprentice winner, Joseph Valenti. You can listen again on the Michael Page website and on Audio Boom, Spotify and iTunes. And if you really enjoyed it, please consider subscribing to the Career Chats podcast by hitting the subscribe button on your player. That will get you notified when the next season's available. And one last favour, if you've liked what you've heard so far, why not give us a 5-star rating on iTunes? It really does help us in spreading the word. So thank you again, Ash,
thank you.
A sincere thanks to you for listening.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.